Hello and welcome to a podcast where we take fictional science from comics, movies, TV, etc. and try to make it factually, scientifically, possibly real. I'm Stoby.
I am known as Forgan.
And I'm Stu.
And this is The Science of Fiction.
Pick up the tricorder, put it on your head. Scanning the planet, see if anyone is dead. Autonomous car driving in Zanzibar. Beam me up, Scotty, I'm not that far. Android hoovering, tearing up the place. Flip phones and conference calls, friends in outer space. Astrophysicist sitting on my knee. Asking aliens if they like a cup of tea.
Fiction, to the science of fiction. I got an addiction to the science of fiction. I got an addiction, baby, to the science of fiction. I got an addiction to the science of fiction.
And welcome back to episode 4 of The Science of Fiction in our special series, The Fiction of Science. And with me tonight are Stu and Stopes.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Pretty weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know. So episodes 1, 2, 3, and 5 were recorded in the same room. We ran out of time for episode 4. Yeah. We'll let you listeners work out how that happened.
Yeah, how does that happen with us normally? And so we're recording this one much later than the other 4. And we're recording it from our houses because, yeah, we're in lockdown, like many other people in the world.
At least 1/3 of the population, if not more by now.
Yeah, yeah. We live in strange, rarely precedented times.
Living during times of historic note is not fun.
No. No. How are you guys coping with this?
Historically important periods are not fun to live through.
No.
It's funny because just before this call, I've been editing one of the other podcasts and we were on a 15-minute talk. We weren't meant to, but we ended up talking for just 15 minutes about what's going on with coronavirus at the moment. Yeah. And it's like, oh, wow. So there's only like half the episode left for all our other normal content. So it just, because it's just so consuming. Yeah, it's so consuming though. But it's good stuff. I'm keeping it in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, this episode. Yeah, but this episode, this podcast is a break from that, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We're not going to be talking about coronavirus at all in this episode. We're going to be talking about another of our pseudoscience subjects. And this episode is about creationism and intelligent design. So,
in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And then he said, let there be drums. And there was drums. Let there be guitars. And there was guitars. Yeah.
I mean, it was going really well for a while there, and then it just sort of...
Yeah, I realised how long this text was. I'm not reading the whole thing. But everyone's heard it before. Everyone knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It is the first week of Earth.
Mm. And this idea that Earth just popped into existence along with the rest of the universe, and that somebody made it rather than it just being assembled by the laws of physics and nature just doing its thing.
Well, nobody on a 7-day target is going to achieve everything they mean to do. I mean, let's face it, just look at the duck-billed platypus.
I like that idea that he was just like, oh,
put a bill on the front, lay eggs, whatever.
What am I going to do? I've got a bill and I've got a furry bit.
He started phoning it in towards the end, let's face it.
I've got a beaver tail.
I've got a thing that lays eggs.
Same way everyone does. Like, the first 2 or 3 days of the project, you're putting your best piece of work in. And then by the end, you're just putting horns on rhinos and you're getting rid of unicorns and all that nonsense.
I love the idea that he's got, like, 2 or 3 birds of paradise and he's like, these are absolutely perfect. I've spent days doing... Oh, you want me to do another 1,000,000 species? Oh.
Here's a dodo.
First species he did was the dog. and he had so much fun with the dog, and he said, put the dog down on Earth. And his advisor went, nah, 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 the dog won't survive with the dinosaurs. And God was like, I could get rid of the lizards.
This dog needs something to keep it company. Let's make men. That'll do the trick.
The whole making someone from your ribs as well. I mean,
I want my rib back.
Wasn't that the story about Michael Jackson, allegedly?
What, Prince. Rib removed?
Oh, Prince, yeah.
Oh, yes, that story. That very.
Yeah, so he could roll himself up in a ball, so to speak.
Yes. So, back to the topic at hand. Yes. So, I was having a look at, you know, what the different kinds of theories of creationism are, and there seems to be quite a lot, and they kind of range from the really strict reading of the Bible that, yeah, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then he had a rest on the seventh day, and that is exactly how it happened. All the way down to, well, you know, science is right, and the universe is old, and evolution is real, and all that, but there was just a creator at the start who just kind of flicked something into motion and then just walked away. And then everything else in between, there's somebody who believes in some aspect of it. So what should we talk about first? What, like the craziest part or the least crazy part?
I just want to know.
I was going to quickly jump in with the one piece of information I have prepared. get it out of the way so I can shut up on this. So, and if anyone's watched Dave Gorman's Google Whack Adventure, great stand-up comedy routine, I would highly recommend watching it. But during that sort of whole adventure that he goes on through Google Whacks, he encounters a creationist by the name of Dwayne Gish. And one of the biggest things he dislikes about Dwayne Gish is that he basically bases a lot of his beliefs on creationism around a misinterpretation or a misrepresentation of one of the laws of thermodynamics, which I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's something about entropy.
Yes, this is the second law of thermodynamics.
Yes, there we go. Yeah. This is where Duncan will now be able to complete the explanation of what I'm meaning. basically, they cut out a chunk of it so that it means that it effectively allows for their meaning to exist. It's something about like in a vacuum or in a stable something or other. Again, my memory of it is very vague, but okay. Basically, without like two or three words at the end. Basically, it changes the meaning entirely to fit what they want to believe. I think it's something to do with like in a vacuum or in a sealed environment. In a sealed environment.
In a closed system?
In a closed system. There we go. Yeah, that's it. Go. Thank you. So basically, a lot of his creationist research and findings and papers are written based off this removal of these three words. Because without that in an enclosed environment, creationism could happen. But that's not true because that's not the law of thermodynamics and so forth. So again, it's almost falling back to, and to go back to episode one, this misinterpretation and misrepresentation of science that has been proven to fulfill the facts that they want to. So again, it's a bit of a bastardization to fit. So they can basically say, yeah, well, look, we proved it because of this. And went, well, that's not actually the law.
Yeah. I think there's also a misunderstanding of what the second law means. So the second law says that in a closed system, the entropy will always increase. And so entropy is a measure of how disordered something is. So if I take a glass, there's only really one way or a handful of ways that I can arrange the pieces of a glass to make it glass-shaped, and I can drink out of it. If I throw that glass on the floor and smash it, then there are lots of ways I can have a smashed glass on the floor, right? There's lots of different ways that I can arrange the different shards and still have a smashed glass. But you don't see smashed glasses suddenly reassembling themselves into an intact glass, right? And that's true basically at almost every level of physics, right down to quite small areas. And so once you get to a very small size, the law gets a bit fuzzy. But generally speaking, you can't go from something that's a mess to something that's ordered. You don't see glasses like randomly assembling themselves. You don't see sudden order merging out of chaos. And so the creationist idea about this is like, well, okay, if entropy is a measure of disorder and it always increases, then if we go back to the beginning of the universe, then there must be basically infinite order, right? you know, as time goes backwards, the amount of order in the universe increases until it reaches its maximum value. And the idea is that, well, okay, at the beginning of the universe, there was infinite order, and let's call that thing God. But what they don't realize is that infinite order means it can only assume one shape and can never do anything, right? God is a very complex idea, just in the same way that humans are a very complex idea. And so what entropy also measures is complexity. So the complexity of systems increases with time. And so the universe gets more complicated, more rich, more interesting. And when you rewind the tape, the universe gets boring, right? It gets very ordered and very much, I can only arrange the atoms in a couple of ways, right to the point where everything is smaller than an atom and I can't rearrange it anyway. This is the only way the universe can be arranged. And therefore it has perfect order, quote unquote. So a lot of it is about, as you were saying, getting that in a closed system bit wrong, because we can see examples of creating order out of disorder, but when we create order, we also create a bunch of disorder somewhere else, right? We humans create order by having bodies that are very complex structures, but we keep those bodies by eating and by producing waste, right? And the waste we produce has more disorder than the order that we made inside the body. So you can always see, if you take the whole system, which is not just the human, but the human inside the house on the planet Earth, then you can see that disorder always increases. And that's the common fallacy about the second law kind of suggesting or proving that God must exist. It doesn't work.
So there you go.
And here you are.
Yeah. It was almost like you were ready for that, but we knew you weren't.
No, I'm not that prepared for this week. But I've heard this argument before. It was quite a common one I used to get when I used to do public talks. And there was more than one occasion where I would do a public talk at a church or at, you know, a youth organization that was linked to a church. And you would get some kids asking you questions like that. You get some adults questioning you in that kind of way as well. And you'd always have to come back with that answer. And they'd look at you like, I think you've just duped me. I don't think that was right. But
You've used your magic science words.
Yeah, I feel like you pulled the wool over my eyes. But this is the truth, right? This is how science sees the universe, right? And you know, you can either say, okay, I believe the scientific method and I believe the results that come out of that method, or I don't, right? That's your two choices.
See, when you got into the church and they asked you that question, you should have pointed at Jesus up on the cross and just been like, well, I hope I answer it better than this guy.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
So here's a question, just having a look at it, and just when you're talking about all that sort of the chaos and disorder, would it take just one day to create the sun and the moon and the stars when it's taken 6 days to create, well, I suppose in the first day, he actually created the planet, didn't he?
Yeah, like he kind of does the whole bit in a one, and he creates the sun, all the stars you see, all the planets, all the moons and the Earth in a oneer. And yeah, they're just like rocks without life on them. And yeah, that's very much against the scientific view of it, which is that it takes, you know, millions of years. It takes to make a star, it takes from the moment that the gas starts collapsing to form the final object, yeah, it'll take, you know, of order a million years. And to form a planetary system like ours, it takes billions of years, really. Hundreds of millions of years.
That's crazy. Yeah, and that's one thing I guess it kind of skips over, is the fact that in day one, he's like credited with creating light. So it's almost assuming that either at minute zero or, you know, half of day one is actually the Earth and half of day one was light, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true, because light comes second, doesn't it?
So how did he create the light when sun, moon, and stars weren't invented until day five?
So wait a minute. So he creates the heavens and the earth. Then he says, let there be light.
Yep.
So that is also backwards compared to what we understand about the universe in the...
So he made the planets in the dark.
Yeah.
Day one, light. Day two, atmosphere/firmament. Day three, dry ground and plants. Day four, sun, moon, and stars. Day five, bird and sea animals. Day six, land animals and humans. Day seven, the Sabbath of rest. And credit to BibleInfo.com for the information there.
That always reliable source.
Do you mean the original source material or this website?
Both. So that's weird. So he creates... Okay, so what order does he create the... is the light before the sun, moon, and stars or after?
Yeah, light is day one, sun, moon, and stars is day four.
Okay, that actually is the correct ordering from the scientific view that that light was created first. That was one of the first products of the universe, was light. And then much later after that was the first stars being born. So that ordering is correct. It certainly took more than 4 days to get from creation to, planetary systems.
Hold on, sorry.
I'm just having a quick look on the Wikipedia because, let's get some multiple sources here. And there's a... He did pre-creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. That's before even day one. This guy set up a spreadsheet beforehand and knew what he was doing in terms of a project management here. So he created heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void and darkness. So he did heaven and earth in the dark.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's God.
Yeah, right? I can't even get my shoelaces tied in the dark.
I assume he made some night vision goggles first, right, and just cracked on.
Oh, man, could you imagine the size of those?
Yeah, so, yeah, it's really hard to tackle these scientifically because there is no science, right? I mean, it's just a story that was told. And you can either believe that story and reject all of science, or you can reject the story. I mean, the other alternative is to say that, well, the story is not literally true. It's like a metaphor, and that the days are not actually 24 hours long, that the day actually is a mistranslation, and that in the original Hebrew, it would be something more like age or
epoch
or something like that. And so that each of these days is actually a very long span of time. And so that first week of creation could be millions of years. But that still says to me that...
So you're saying it's a scaling problem.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, interestingly, and we came across this in the Flat Earth episode, is that how people measure distances changes with time, right? What the units they use to measure things changes. So it could be that, this documented account, say if God was real and he was like, by the way, this is how it happened. And he's measuring things in this thing he calls a day, but actually for God, days last millions of years. Then yeah.
I mean, if you're like an omniscient being of all power and creation, a day is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A day is a quick...
Like he might be like, I'm going to call it a day, but it's actually a million years. But these humans are going to create, they're not going to understand that.
Yeah.
Like it's out of their, for them, like a million years, they're going to be toast by the end of that.
I like the idea that he kind of knocked off work and then spent like several million years watching telly or something.
I'm so tired. Cracks open a cold one.
Just gets like a zillion box sets and watches each of them one by one and goes, right, okay, tomorrow it's going to be day
Simpsons
two.
Simpsons season 6,400.
Going to make me some firmament tomorrow. That's my plan.
There's a question though. If God had a face, what would it look like? And would you want to see it if seeing men that you would have to believe in things like heaven and in Jesus and no one getting, never mind.
That is a really weird touch.
Never mind. Failed miserably.
Tyler, sure what just happened?
No.
Song lyrics. No, but what I'm still not getting here from the light part is, yeah, okay, so light was created first, but what is the light source? Because I can't have a light in my kitchen without a bulb.
Yeah. So there's something that needs to be, yeah, producing it.
Yeah. Which is what?
So in the beginning, according to science, right, during the Big Bang, there was just a lot of energy, right? And a lot of that energy escaped as radiation. And, as the universe began to cool, the way it cools is by emitting light, by emitting radiation. So the universe will have gone through a period where actually if you could look at like the energy budget of the universe and say how much of the energy is in light, how much of it is actually in the form of matter and how much of it is in the form of dark matter and all that kind of stuff. There's quite a protracted period of history where most of the energy is in light. And it's what we call the radiation-dominated epoch. We are kind of going through, well, we've been through that epoch. That ended a long time ago. And we're in a matter/dark matter-dominated universe. And we're slowly changing away from that to a universe that will be dominated by dark energy. But that's like a whole other diversion.
It's a totally different movie.
That is a completely different movie. And we can maybe have an episode to talk about dark energy at some point, because, man, that's weird stuff.
Pretty much describes my sense of humor.
Yeah.
I just like the idea that the universe went through phases. Like, it went through like a teenage phase, an emo phase, you know, goth phase, got a piercing, and I went, oh, no, I don't like it. Got some tattoos.
A religious phase, and then a rebellious phase.
There's pictures of the universe, if you look back far enough, where it's like, it's got a dodgy haircut and stupid jeans. And yeah.
A wee chain hanging from the front to the wall.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, God, yeah. If the universe really was raised in the early 90s, yeah.
So
listen to a lot of metal.
Oh, dear.
You don't have me on here for the science, kids.
Yep, yep. You can tell we've really prepared for this episode.
It's very difficult when we've got four kids between us and we're looking after.
Yeah, yeah. Working two jobs, one of which is like toddler wrangling, is, yeah, an interesting job.
Teacher. Straight up school teacher. Right, okay, so he's created this earth. He's created this ball.
He's probably going to be pleased with himself as well, you know, smug.
Yeah, 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 totally. But you know, on day three, he creates dry ground. Okay, he creates dry ground and plants. So has he just made like a water ball up until this point?
I think it's just a rock ball at this point.
No, I think
like he's gone. Is there not a boom, gigantic rock tennis ball?
Is there not a phrase like he moved upon the water or something like that that suggests that the earth was completely covered in water?
Yeah, so in day two, firmament, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. What's a firmament?
So the firmament's like the sky, right?
Okay, so which divides the waters from the waters. So
yeah,
is it like sea, sky, sea? Is this like a sky sandwich with sea above and below it?
Sky sandwich.
So this is where it gets weird, right? Because I think this actually circles back to the flat earth.
And it's not weird already?
Well, yeah. This is where it gets weird there.
Dude turns up, makes light, turns a light on and makes stuff.
There.
here's a cockapoo.
Now, we made that. That was us.
Oh, okay. He still takes credit for everything, though. That's the thing.
He just made dogs, man. He didn't make cockapoos.
Yeah, but you know, like, that's, you know what these people are like. They're like, oh, well, God created everything. Really? Did he create this pug?
I can almost imagine, like, the people making cockapoos just like, you know, let's get this, was it a cocker spaniel and a poodle? Let's just make them mate and see what happens.
That's pretty much what they do.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I think that's most of human history. It's like, I wonder what happens if I smash these two things together.
I accidentally watched like the end of Crofts this year. It was just weird. There's some weird looking dogs there. We as humans have nothing better to do with our lives and then try to work it out. We can mate dogs.
But no, you're right, Forgan. Because people are like, oh, well, that calf is drinking looks quite good. I'm going to try that. Yeah.
Yeah. So at some point, somebody said, I'm going to drink that milk. And everyone's like, dude, are you serious?
No, do you know the worst one? It's the...
I'm going to eat that bat.
The gluten-free... Whoever took chickpeas juice and worked out that they could turn it into like a meringue that was safe for vegans. Who looks at chickpea juice and goes, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to add sugar and whisk that.
And it will probably taste nice.
And it might taste nice. Who does that?
I've had chickpea juice meringue. It's actually quite good.
See, yeah, but who made that jump? Who went, hey, I've had a whole bunch of chickpeas and I've got this juice left over. What should we do with it?
Yeah.
How self-sufficient?
Probably somebody like Jamie Oliver or something.
Jamie Oliver just wants to make things with five items these days.
That's stolen from someone else, though. Someone else came up with all that first. Didn't they, Forgan?
Yes. Oh, that's the bootstrap cook who has been doing stuff with Tim Goods for years. And now he's like doing this. Oh, look, yeah, a TV show. Got too much Tim Goods.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. So anyway. So yeah, he made firmaments, which then separated. I still can't get past this sentence. I still can't. It's like, let it divide. It's almost like saying, let it separate the people from the people. What, to separate the grass from the grass?
Weird.
Makes no sense. Yeah. So yeah, that was day two that he created the firmament. And then he called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day.
Yeah. So I think when I was saying this is going to get weird, it's because this is where it ties back to the flat earth stuff. Because it's kind of hinting at the fact that the earth is flat.
Oh, no, not these guys again.
Yeah. And so this is where flat earth theory came from. Was this idea that that's how you had to split it. That you had to look at the earth as being entirely flat. And also that the sun and stars were made after the earth, right? So that puts the earth at the center of the universe.
I just got images now of God, like, creating earth in the same way that you would decorate a pancake.
Just like, or like a pizza.
Oh, he's a pizza pioneer.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what kind of toppings do you think you'd put on it?
Well, there would be hints of pestilence.
Pestilence? I'm
trying to think of ingredients that sound almost like food.
Just like a plague of locusts on a pizza.
Ingredients that sound like food, isn't that?
Yeah.
Ingredients.
It's you all know what I mean. Like, I could have been recording this at 7 o'clock and been a lot more alert.
God, no.
No.
Nobody knows.
Right. Where are
we? I'm assuming firmament is... It says, and God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. I must be land.
No, well, but we've covered firmament that is sky, right? It's basically what it means. Or sky in the sense of, you know.
God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. I don't know how. This is one of my. Okay, so I'm apologizing. I'm about to go on a rant for a second. This is my problem with the Bible. It doesn't make any sense. And it's so open to interpretation that this is why we get so many confused situations. I don't understand how people could take this as word verbatim.
It's very confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just nonsense words. Like, it feels like it's something to essentially cow a population and keep them in check. And when, before they knew better. Before science really became a big thing, because let's face it, back in the day of this in air quotation marks, Jesus and Joseph and Mary, there weren't many scientists going around going, hey, look at that. I've proved something. Oh, the book says no. Okay. Sorry. But yeah, you read this and it just doesn't make any sense. And it means that the situation is where we go, well, this is the science. And they go, well, this is what the book says. Went, yeah, no, but nobody understands what this book says.
And I think that's the problem you get as well, is that, and we've had this with other discussions like the astrology discussion, is that it is open to interpretation. So you've got one track, which is the science, you know, and it can only be one answer. And science will always ever produce that correct, you know, that one scientific answer. But then the interpretations spread, to use a topical term, like a virus, and they go off and mutate in different ways. And so you suddenly got all this noise of all these different interpretations, and you've got this one sort of channel of science. If that makes sense. I don't know if my analogy was great or not.
No, it's actually pretty good, because if you look, even if you just look like a simple church, like the churches, like you've got the, I can't remember what it is, it's the Catholics and the Roman Catholics and the Protestants and all that. And it's all the same thing, but just because there's this certain differences, because even to the point where the Lord's Prayer has a slightly different ending, because there's an extra like four words at the end of the Lord's Prayer between one and the other. Again, I do not know which one it is. And I'm going to apologize. I'm basing all this information off a Darrow Breen sketch. But that is the thing. Like, and it's like, do you get to one, if you got one half of the church being one side and one half being church, say, for example, for a wedding, this is the example he uses. They say the Lord's Prayer, one side sits down, the other side then has like an extra four words, and then they sit down. But it's all based out of the same thing. It's the same Bible. It's just that different interpretation. And this is the stuff that has created wars.
Yeah.
And this is how powerful this is. This is these beliefs that this one book and this whoever interpretation of that is, and it has created probably more deaths under the name of a religion throughout time and existence than in any other reason. And that's the sort of sad thing when you then got scientists going, well, actually, what you're saying is not really, doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
I'm gonna get so much hate mail from this.
Yeah.
Please don't send me hate mail. I don't care.
I think, have we had any hate
mail? I don't have
the
time
yet
to read it.
Like, we're now a few episodes in. Has anybody had any, like,
unpleasant communications?
If you're a strong believer in all this sort of stuff, you're probably not listening to a science podcast.
No, maybe not.
Which has been ranking in the top 10 Great Britain physics on podcasts on iTunes charts recently.
Hey,
so
we passed recently 2,500 listens for all our episodes a couple of weeks ago. So thank you very much, listeners, everyone who's out there.
Yeah.
We very much appreciate it, listening to us bumble along half-heartedly.
Yeah.
You what?
What?
What did you do? Oh, half-heartedly.
I know what you're doing there. I'm just ignoring it.
No.
Oh, there's so much.
I genuinely what it sounded like there.
You heard it on the mic.
Now, this is probably moving into... Sorry, that took a moment. This is probably going more into your area of expertise now, Forgan. But like I mentioned before, on day 4... he created the sun, moon, and the stars. So he said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. What do you think of that?
So all the stars in the universe were made at the same time. Not true.
Yeah.
we can go and measure the... Well,
fake news.
If it is fake news, we can go out there and we can characterize the life cycle of stars. We can watch them be born and we can see them die. We've got a very good understanding of essentially the lifetime of a star, like what happens when a star is born, the sort of phases it goes through, and then what happens when it ends. And we know how that changes for stars of different mass. So we know how the sun's going to end. We know how the Earth is going to end as a result.
Spoilers.
It's several billion years in the future. Don't worry, it's fine. So we can see that process happening, right? So if God made all the stars at the same time, then all the stars of the same mass born at that time would all die at the same time. And we don't see that happening, right? We do see, if we go back into the early universe, we see different epochs of star formation, and we see three different epochs. And we were the last epoch of star formation. And I'm talking like in a very, like the whole universe kind of language. But what we also see is that if we go and look in various constellations, we can look and we can see stars being born, you know, basically all the time, right? So good examples are the Orion Molecular Cloud. So if you look at Orion's Belt, if you look at the rightmost star and look in, that's a site of active star formation. The constellation of Taurus, Ophiuchus, if you're a big fan of constellations, I'm not even sure I could point to it on the sky, but there you go. But there's lots of places where stars are being born.
I couldn't even say it. And so with that, then there's no evidence that there was a whole bunch born at one time and then others developed and then they've had their own natural varying lifespans while the first lot pegged
it. It's a bit of a quirk of how the first ones were born. And we know for a fact that when the first stars were born, there was a lack of kind of chemical elements in the universe. Most of the universe was either hydrogen or helium. And one of the interesting quirks about that is if you make a star without those trace elements, they live their lives quicker. They also end up being much, much bigger. So they live very fast because the bigger the star is, the shorter its lifespan. They live very fast and they explode violently really quickly. So those first stars would not have lasted. They would have disappeared very, very quickly.
Right. Oofed.
Okay, so I'm going.
So science disproves yet again.
So here's my. And I know that the Bible is very much full of contradictions and nonsenses. We're going to move to day six. And God's first act was the creation. Day six was that he created all animals. Okay. Now, this is then going to cross into, this is where this doesn't make sense. From a project management side, I don't get it. So there are a number of beasts which are deemed to be unclean, which you're not allowed to eat.
This is the Bible saying that, them? Right?
Yeah, the Bible says it. Do not eat these items, for they are... hold on a second. I will just bring it up. I had it a second. Some religions are unclean animals, an animal whose consumption or handling is taboo. Okay? So like this includes pigs, camels, something... a hare. I'm not entirely sure why that is. Man should not eat the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. This means that the animals that can be eaten would need to have hooves in which... each is two parts cleft down the middle, and which could, which also choose a cud, such as goats, cows, and sheep. Pigs, no. Camels, no. Hydrax, no. Monitor lizards, for some reason, is mentioned. That's kind of weird. here's my question.
Who's eating a monitor lizard here? Anybody?
I don't know. I mean, someone braver than me. Chameleon, skink, just weird. Leviticus 11 is where I'm getting that from. But... here's my question. Why make something that you can eat if you don't want people to eat it?
Do you know what I mean? There's a very obvious religious answer to that, isn't there?
Yeah, but do you know, I'm just sitting there going, it's a waste of time. If you're going to forbid people from eating it, don't make it in the first place. What a stupid thing to do. And I'm sure someone will come along and say, well, you know, God's infallible and he's ineffable, you know. No, and again, we can go into things like good omens and so forth. It's like the unknown plan. Nobody really knows what his plan is. But really, it's just a little nightmare. If I went off and went, hey, I've made all these things for you, but you can't do these. My boss or someone would be like, well, why did you do them then? Sorry, I'm just going to point out holes in things now. I'm not a scientist.
Yeah, but the answer is temptation, right?
Of course it's temptation, but that's just a dick move.
Yeah, arguably.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
He's a benevolent God, but hey, he's going to give you a load of temptation to make you look like it and trip yourself up. That's a whole other issue.
What's up, Fair City Podcast? This is Chris and Dan from Fresh Talk. Check us out at freshtalkpodcast.com.
That's right. And if you had any idea how long it took me and Dan to do that bumper, you would actually probably never listen to us.
It's totally true. Get him, Stobie.
Hey, Stobie, it's me, Jarrett. Go to jarrettgoesthemovies.com. Check out the podcast. Also go to Rockstar Dad Show. Check that one out, too. It's freaking great. They're both great. Also, you just got a text and a Facebook message.
Yeah.
And I probably better give you this phone back.
Hello, this is Jim.
And my name is Graham Chen Jack.
And we're both responsible for the monstrosity that is A Bloody Mess Podcast.
We can be found at www.facebook.com/messpodcast, twitter.com/mess_podcast, Instagram is A Bloody Mess.
And we're our alternative Wednesdays to the Science of Fiction podcast, which is a must listen.
Then that also comes to the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. And the apple.
Yeah. Again, it's
don't eat the apple, but one of them will keep the doctor away. Don't eat it.
And again, this is this whole thing. It's always a benevolent God. Then why does he keep tempting you? To prove myself. Why do you need to prove yourself?
It is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, no, not really.
I thought you were going to go down a different route from the project management piece, which is like...
Okay, oh, sorry.
You're going to make all the animals. I think, okay, which ones do you make first? And where do you put them?
Oh, like the old fox, chicken, and...
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine that was a nightmare. Well, I'm putting you on Africa just now because I can't have you near the penguins. The polar bears are going to go up into the Arctic and the penguins are going to go in the Antarctic. And, oh, geez. Oh, man. This is a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
So there's one really obvious question that has to be asked.
Why are we talking about this still?
No, well, no, there's that, but... when he created some of the animals, did he create the chicken or the egg?
Now, I believe the answer to that is that he created essentially the egg. Oh, I don't know. Isn't the chicken essentially an evolution? So that it just sort of evolved through from like the old, the chickens essentially evolved from dinosaurs because dinosaurs were pre-chicken because some dinosaurs went on to have potentially chicken-like or bird-like tendencies because they ended up getting feathers and it was just an ongoing thing.
Yeah, so that's the science answer, right? Which is
that's the science answer,
If you go back far enough in a chicken's family tree, you'll find a dinosaur.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched the episode of Red Dwarf.
where we all found our passion for science.
Yes. Passion died a long time ago. Thank you, Mr. McCubbin.
I managed to keep mine despite that. If you're hearing this, Mr. McCubbin.
He told me I peaked. Sorry, Forgan. Prick.
I'll just have to bleep you again.
Totally worth it.
What was I going to say? Lost my train of thought. Yes, if you're God, right, then you just make a chicken, don't you?
You just make a chicken.
You're not like, oh, I'm going to make an egg and this egg's going to become a chicken. You're like, oh, just make a chicken.
Tell you what, though, if it was real, it'd be amazing to watch. Just things puffing into existence around himself like a really weird David Blaine episode. Hello, David Copperfield. Elephant.
I like the idea that it was just like a very massive sort of tapestry or something and he just drops the tapestry and there's just a shit ton of animals all over the place. Da-da!
I imagine it more as like some kind of time lapse of it being created, you know, like have you seen Westworld?
What was it? There was a Billy Connolly sketch where he talks about God making humans and he's talking about, he said, what would we do about elbows? Oh, you know, just got some leftover testicle skin. Let's put that there.
It's so true, though.
It so is.
He just reminded me of the joke where it's like, he says to Adam, I'll make you a companion and she'll be perfect and she'll do all this for you and she'll look like this and she'll never nag you. Oh, what will that cost? Oh, it'll be an arm and a leg. What can I get for a rib? Sorry, ladies, I love you really.
That one is dedicated to all our partners.
Thank goodness none of them listen to this.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, hi, Heather.
So where are we? Day five?
I was on day six with the animals.
Well,
sorry,
I wanted to talk for a little bit.
So what happens after he makes all the animals?
It's just chaos.
Well,
just animals before,
he spent several hours cleaning up
a lot of dung.
So that's the land animals, but on day five, before that, he made the birds and sea animals. So he actually made the chickens on day five.
Well, no, hold on.
Incorrect.
Are chickens really air animals, technically? They're not really flighted birds a lot of time.
No, they're forest dwelling
animals. Winged bird.
In the wild, so.
Winged bird.
Bird.
They've got wings. They come under day five.
Do you want your bird? I want my bird.
Give me my board.
So he makes birds and fish on day five.
Yes. Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. You know what? It's really well written stuff sometimes. It's like so dramatic, and you can just get right behind it with how you say it.
It's all about effect. He's basically trying to big up the whole process. He's trying to create an image of this god who's like, look at this, boom, a flamingo.
There's also been a lot of redrafting, right? I mean, it's been translated how many times?
Oh, God, it's gone through the writer's room about four or five times.
Like, that's why it feels so on point. It's just, it's polished. It's so polished.
Let's face it. Whoever's writing this stuff's phoned it in recently.
Yeah, if you think that's bad, you should read the Book of Revelation. That's like a serious mushroom trip.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the fish and the birds, and then the land creatures, and that's kind of in evolutionary order, right? That, okay, the birds not out of order, but life arising in the sea and then coming onto land.
What about sea mammals?
Mm-hmm.
I assume that dolphins were created afterwards. Well, like, at what point did they make dolphins?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, they're not fish, but they're not really animals. Yeah. They're mammals.
They're a sea animal.
A sea mammal, yeah. Who made... When did the manatee get made?
The gentle
the graceful manatee.
But there's some mammals that their ancestors lived on the land and then went back to the sea, right?
They just went, I've had enough of this.
But they're just like, I'm out.
Am I right in saying that there are certain species of whale ancestors are on the land? I need to check that. But let me check.
Be very careful what we follow this up with. See.
Yeah, yeah. So the whale's ancestors were land dwelling, and they would have looked a bit like a goat. And then, yeah.
That's a bloody big goat.
And they were sort of semi-amphibian, that they used to live by the river. And over time, they just went into the water and spent more and more time in the water. And this is why whales have the like vestigial legs.
I don't know what vestigial means. It means but that
they just atrophied and went away over time.
Yeah, so like vestigial means that it, like you used to need it and then you stopped needing it. So like, so the
argument... No, okay. Like Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how none of us talk about it anymore?
Never watched it, mate.
Man.
Never will.
Watch the first four seasons and then
watch
stop.
It to the end of
I
season
watched the
six.
First four episodes and got so bored. And I'm like, that's me done. And people will come and shout at me about this. I don't. I just didn't care. The Witcher was better.
But
I haven't watched.
Day seven. That's where it all kicks off. That's the Sabbath.
No one created a shrimp or anything like that, or an octopus. I mean, what do you think about an octopus as well?
That's where you run out of everything. All you've got is legs, right?
Yeah. It's like you play with Lego and all you've got is the leg bits left.
What can I do with this? Oh, that's interesting. Ooh, okay. That'll do.
I've got a circular bit and I've got a bunch of legs. Let's give it ink, you know. Might want to write a story.
Yeah, here's how. Half these suckers. I don't know what I'm going to use these for.
Let's give people nightmares.
See, I'm all right with octopi until they unscrew the lids of jars and escape.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? Yeah. Very clever things.
Yeah, it's mental.
And they're really good at predicting football results. Yep.
Yeah.
I wonder how they'll do this summer.
Yes. Before the world went mad.
So speaking of madness, getting back to this 7 days.
This is like a really terrible version of that Bare Naked Ladies song.
God. At least that song's finished.
So like, just looking at this website, and they've got a picture for each of the days. And on day seven, they've got like, it's almost like a sort of key elements from a lot of the previous images in the one image. And there's just a picture of God standing behind Adam and Eve smiling, and he looks like Russell Brand.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's him.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Did we skip?
He's quite clearly about to get into a threesome.
Did we skip the creation of humans?
Humans were on day six.
Day six.
They were day six, land animals and humans. Have you got anything you want to add to that?
Humans came very late, right? We've only been around as a species for about 250,000 years. So
yeah, monkeys were before us. Mm. Dinosaurs.
So there you go.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, right? I don't understand. Again, we're going back into things I don't understand. You find things like dinosaur fossils and all these things that we can prove are so old because of like carbon dating and all this sort of stuff. Like, at what point do you say, well, the world, because they believe the world is what, 2,000 years, or just over 2,000 years old.
6,000, I think.
6,000, yeah, you know, because you know, they changed the whole BCA AD thing.
That's like faking your date of birth.
Yeah. And wasn't it that he wasn't actually born on Christmas Day? And if it was Christmas Day, like that's the 25th of December,
uh-huh.
Right? Wouldn't that be day one, not the 1st of January?
Well, like Jesus wasn't born like the minute the world came into existence. Like, those are two
separate
events.
Hold on, no, wait. Yeah, at what point does he reach seven and you're like, hey, we're gonna son of God, right? Yeah, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, whatever. Let's change the dates. When was that decided?
But then,
and what did they use before that?
But
they still use Thursday, which is based on Thor's day.
Uh-huh. And Wednesday's based on Odin. And
yeah, and Odin, yeah. And Friday is based on Frigga?
Freya or Frigga, right? Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm working on it here. And Monday is based on Monday?
That's based on Iron Man.
Yeah.
Iron Monday.
Well, Monday is the Friday. Moon day, right? It's the Moon's day.
Yeah, Moon day. And Tuesday is the Tuesday. Monday, one day, Tuesday, Tuesday. To quote Friends. This is the other thing. Like, they're talking 7 days back then, and then you throw like Thor into there, or it's a Thursday. Right? It doesn't make any sense. It's just riddled with holes.
Yeah, but
I don't know how you.
It's because it's been mixed in with like the stuff that was here when Christianity arrived, right? That there was Norse culture came later on and kind of mixed into it, and then Christianity showed up and.
But everybody uses Thursday.
Oh, they do now.
But this stuff predates. Like, I don't. I'm going to come off as really stupid again, aren't I?
Possibly.
Yeah, I always do.
Yeah, what came first, Jesus or the calendar? I suppose exactly. That's the question to
and
be
if
asked.
It was like it was like a 12 apostles calendar. You know, who was Mr. July? When where was Judas?
Oh. Which is the most betray kind of month for you?
Which is the most deceptive month? Astrologers could tell us.
December.
Sorry, I feel like I've derailed the conversation again.
That, just a little.
That assumes the conversation was on rails. I don't think it was.
This is what happens when you have one bottle of cider, kids.
Oh, yeah. I really wish I'd had a drink. A cup of tea doesn't
This is work. What I do to people. This is what I do to Duncan. I make him want to drink.
Yeah, that's actually quite true. It's true. Yeah, whenever I'm around you, I seem to drink far too much. Why is that?
It's an effect I have.
It's a coping mechanism.
Oh my God, he's so stupid. I have to make myself stupider to understand.
Must kill brain
Where is
cells.
He going with this?
Bye-bye, brain cells. See you in the morning.
Why is he talking about giraffes? Here's another thing. Why giraffes? Did he just have an extension? Necks.
I think the more pressing question for a giraffe, the more pressing question is, if you were to put a scarf around a giraffe's neck, would you put it at the top or the bottom?
You'd just make a really long one and go all the way down
Where would you tie it? Where would you have that little...
Like a mega cravat, like just right at the top, all the way down. I think, how else would you do it? Right?
Give it a collar, like a really big collar. Could you imagine, like, if you had to stop a giraffe from biting its own stitches on its back and just having to put in a massive cone?
Cone of shame.
It would look like
the cone of shame on a street lamp. Giraffe must be huge.
Oh, you've killed Forgan now.
I'm so sorry. That was, yeah.
I'm so lost. What were we talking about?
Dinosaurs. Why do they not believe dinosaurs? Explain that to me.
Well, I guess the answer usually is that, like, dinosaurs are, the fossils are there. They've been placed by God to, like, tempt you into believing that science is real.
Again, we're back to this bullshit temptation.
Yeah.
That is a bit strange. It's like, I want you to believe in me and only me, but here's some hints at other areas of expertise exist.
The Ten Commandments. By the way, go see, there's a George Carlin stand-up routine where he talks about how the Ten Commandments can be rolled down to like two, and it's just beautiful. I would highly recommend it.
So I think we've pretty much diddled God's plan.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean... I guess there's quite a few people out there who don't subscribe to that completely literal or even like metaphorical creationism.
But it is worrying though, isn't it? That there are people who believe that the Bible is written as is. Like there's someone who sat down and going, hey, I'm going to write this all down as it happens.
Yeah.
But there are always going to be people like that.
This is the word. But there are enough people out there, there are enough people out there in positions of power.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Because, I mean, it's no different to fake news and how quickly misinformation spreads.
But it's all, you know, it's all
people
these,
just believe.
Yeah, what's in but front it's of. All these like contradictions, and they make these judgments based on this text, and they not just make these decisions and judgments, but they enact these judgments and stuff like that, like to say that homosexuality is wrong, to say that like that all these things, but this is the same book that says you can't wear this material of two different types.
Yes.
That if you work on the Sabbath, you should be stoned for working
on
the Sabbath.
It helps you get
like, through this is a draconic book, a draconic manuscript that people today in modern life are using to base decisions on, that abortions should be like a woman, and that a woman does not shouldn't have equal rights, that people of color shouldn't have equal rights. It's just going back to something we said in episode one, like having these beliefs and understandings is dangerous, particularly when you're a position of responsibility. This is something I do find to be quite a strong belief.
Well, it's quite topical, isn't it, right? Because we're now sitting in our houses because there is a virus going around the world that has mutated, right? It's a form of cold, the common cold, that has evolved into a strain that is very contagious and has a non-insignificant fatality rate, which is why we're all sitting here trying not to get anywhere near anybody to try and reduce the rate of infection.
Someone has played Plague Inc. really well.
Yes, someone has played Plague Inc. really well. And, you know, the reason that we understand all of that, like we've sequenced the genome of the virus, we have done genetics, we understand to some degree how it's evolved and how it is evolving. We can see different strains of the virus in, you know, the strains in Manhattan are not the same as the ones that are in London, right? We can see genetic differences. If we were to completely throw all that in the bin and say, you know, evolution isn't real and that God created the coronavirus on the first, you know, the first week of creation, how could we then fight
it? Floating around for a while.
Yeah, yeah, right? How do you fold that in as an explanation and figure out how to fight it at the same time? You don't, right? And the consequences mean that people die. So this is an example of a belief that sounds innocent, but can end up being very dangerous in the wrong hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and religion has actually had problems with it recently because of the mass gatherings that it can produce.
Yeah.
And there was a case in India where, I think it was India, where a pastor died, and there was about 4,000 people in his congregation or something like that, all in close contact with one another, and that would just ripple right through them.
Well, there are evangelist pastors in the US still saying we will have a face-to-face gathering and they want thousands of people to show up. You think, well, you're just encouraging the virus to spread.
That's, yeah.
And then they'll try and sell them their weird toothpaste.
Okay.
Legitimately, there are evangelists and believers, and I do believe a certain InfoWars man has been trying to peddle so-called coronavirus cures containing a something or other, I don't know exactly what it is, and that is apparently being touted as a cure for coronavirus, which does not exist.
Yes.
And is not proven to do this and anything like that. So anything who's said otherwise is talking horseshit. But these people have been told by the government, not the government, but certainly the FDA, to stop. And there's been cease and desist orders sent out to them to say, stop hawking your snake oil, because it is not going to work at all.
It's just so dangerous. And even the milder versions of this theory and the idea that, you know, most of evolution is right, but there are bits of evolution that cannot be explained. And you try and you do what they call God of the gaps, and you say, okay, you can't quite explain how this animal evolved into this animal, and therefore God did it, right? That invites so much distrust of just how we understand evolution. And if we just say, well, we don't understand how something happens and that God did it, then we're never able to understand it. We're never able to fix it. What if we just said that, well, yeah, God decided that the coronavirus would jump from animals to people here. And if we don't know how he did it, we can't cure it.
But isn't that like sort of going back to things like the periodic table of elements, where people essentially had managed to work out there were gaps, and then they could then predict it. So like, it might not be a case that we understand that now, but say in 20, 30 years, someone might work it out because at that point, the science will be there to work it out. Because back in the day, someone went, okay, here's the ones we can find. there are gaps here, but I think there is something there. I just don't know where it is or haven't been able to prove it yet.
Yeah.
And that's probably what's going to happen. Like, science is not something that's instantly going to go, hey, instant cure or instant solution, and it's an answer. Like, it's constantly evolving. We know things now that we didn't know 10 years ago, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. 30, 40 years, because it's all based off previous research.
Yep.
Or ongoing research.
Yeah.
Like, research begets research begets research begets research. Failed research begets research begets research. When you rule something out, you then open up another branch. You find something, you continue that branch. And if you fail something, you then try something different. That is science.
I can just remember now, one of my favorite things that got delivered to a department where I was working. And one of the things that I discovered about people who believe in creationism or anti-evolution or whatever, who are trying to disprove Darwinism, they have a lot of money. And so they And so they send you these, like, you know, vanity published books. And this book was probably twice the size of my laptop. It was a big, thick coffee table book, a big glossy book about how evolution was wrong. And there's this amazing, like, two-page spread in it, which I'll never forget. And the guy's argument was basically like, and it was a bit of this sort of discussion about the intermediate forms, and there's not intermediate forms for certain things. And he's like, if evolution was true, there would be an intermediate form between the whale and a bear, and we don't see any. We don't see any whale bears, therefore evolution is wrong. And it has...
Man, I would love to see a whale bear.
And but the best bit is that he did, this is what would happen if there was a whale bear, and he drew like, there was like 7 or 8 diagrams, and there was a whale on one end and a bear on the other, and then all these intermediate, like, bear gradually becoming more and more whaley until it was fully whale.
It just sounds like a weird horror movie.
Some of the stuff, like, would have given you nightmares. It was hilarious and terrifying.
But like,
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say terrifying in the fact that someone believes in it.
Oh, yeah. This is the thing, like, going back to Dave Gorman, swinging right away back to the start, like this guy, Dwayne T. Gish, that he meets and talks about the thermodynamics, he had like a whole comic strip where he's in it talking to kids about disproving evolution. And it's like, this is the most surreal thing in the world. Like, this is like, it's just, oh. And he's presented as like the superhero in this. It's like, oh, it's great. It's like, no, just like a whale noping out on land living. Oh, I'm done with this. Nah. Done.
Like the ancestors of the whale 50 million years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Nah. Boring. Can't get into the trees. Too many platypus. Too much poo.
One of them was adept at astrology and looked up, read the world's future and went, no.
2016's going to suck.
I've just got a picture of like a sort of goat-like animal 50 million years ago. It's like Capricorn. You'll make some great friends in the water this week. Oh, okay. Maybe I should go for a swim. And then millions of years later, it's like, oh, I'm a whale now. Ah, I see. That's what it meant.
Just be wondering, going, oh, I didn't, oh my God. Oh, wow. Wait, I'll never fit into that suit.
Where are my legs?
My hoofs. Oh, well, I guess I'm no longer unclean.
Very true. Apparently.
Yeah.
So,
oh, you can't. Oh, the whole goats were clean.
So
never mind.
Okay. So yeah, it's not like.
Yeah. Goats were clean. Pigs aren't clean.
Okay. He didn't become kosher over millions of years.
No, that'd be amazing. A pig did the same thing and it's like, oh, I'm just fed up of being called unclean.
I'm going to try it being a whale and see what happens.
That's what I'm working on at the moment with this lockdown.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I am quite enjoying my exercise, though. Like getting out of the house.
I'm not doing any. I need to start.
What is this exercise you speak of?
It's just, you almost get into a mindset, I was speaking about this yesterday, you almost get into a mindset of outside is bad. You know, and I live in a village that, you know, there's not that many people out and about anyway. So I'd be absolutely fine. I'd be able to keep my distance from anyone, no problem. But it's just that almost that mental block of shouldn't step outside my house. You know, what if I want to step out later? I can't.
I think you're allowed to go in your back garden, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. We've been out in the garden a lot. Yeah. So, yeah, it's probably a good place to wrap it up then.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we've sort of deviated away into something else. Kind of like God, we've got bored by the seventh day and we're like, yeah, fine.
Yeah, this is our
Sabbath. Here's a Barker lounger and some TV. Let's put on some Baywatch.
For millions of years.
This is in really slow motion.
It's just one episode.
And on the seventh day, he invented slow motion.
Right, okay. So let's wrap up there, I think. So, Stu, where can we find you online?
You can find me online on the internet and Twitter at Barg the Ogre. Please don't send me any messages about how much I'm wrong about the Bible. I don't care. I will just block you. No one's going to change my mind on this.
Fair enough.
It doesn't make sense. As far as I'm concerned, there's a page at the middle, at the front of the book missing, saying all characters within this book are fictional. Any likenesses are coincidental.
That is a very niche reference.
It's what I do. It's what I'm here for. Niche references that no one gets apart from me, two or three people.
And if you do get it, please do get in touch.
Oh, yeah, you can get in touch. I really appreciate those ones. And I do want to say thank you to all of the people who have been listening to all of our episodes. So, like, 2,500 listens over, what are we on? This is the 13th, 14th episode? So we're averaging over 200 listens an episode. It's really cool that people are out there listening. We'd love to get some feedback from you guys. Share it with your friends. Subscribe to the links. Do everything you can, because as I said, we're having a lot of fun doing this. Because just bantering with you guys about stuff I don't understand is always good fun.
Okay, Stobes, where can we find you?
So you can find me at dstoby. You can also get us at Sci-Fi Podcast on Twitter. You guys are looking blank, like, I could be right, I could be wrong.
I stopped listening.
And also, you can find us at fcpod.net/thescienceoffiction. And if you are open for proper, mature, adult debate or discussion about anything, I am more than happy to forward anything on to Stuart Forgan.
No, don't. I will just block you.
He means me. Send it.
And you can find me at DH4GAN on the Twitter. So that's DH4GAN. And Stopes, you were right. It is at Sci-Fi Podcast. I did have to go and look at and check.
I couldn't because my phone is my camera right now.
We do have an email address as well, but I don't remember what that is either. I think it's something like scienceoffiction@podcast@gmail.com. So if you want to send us a diatribe, please send it. We'll just ignore it.
And if that email
address, I will ignore it,
doesn't work, you'll get it on the website, or you can just message hello@fcpod.net and it can get passed on to the right people.
Which is not me.
Right. Well, thanks for joining us on an interesting and rambling discussion. And
it's like every other episode we've done.
How dare you?
This is our genre, man. This is our rambling genre. Nonsense talk. This is my shtick. This is all I've got.
Stu, don't upset the astrologer.
Well, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from him.
And wash your hands.